right. So here we're talking about a very interesting topic tonight. And what does God's word say about something like this? Now, what I have in my hand, obviously, is a cell phone. And it's going nutso on this world. And so I think we need a selfie. Everybody wave and say hi. Okay. Do it again. You'll probably end up somewhere online. You will, okay? So the question is, what does God say? Does God's word speak about? I remember when I first started studying any kind of media, I was looking for verses on television, and I found one in Luke that says, tell the vision to no man, but I couldn't use that one, okay? So then I got thinking, once this whole internet and Facebook and Instagram started taking off, such a part of kids' lives, I'm thinking, what does God say? Is there anything new? No. Is this a surprise to God? No. In fact, when Moses got the Ten Commandments, you remember that? What were they written on? Stone what? Written on a tablet. And where was all the information kept? In the cloud. Okay, so there's actually nothing new under the sun. So what we're going to do is look at this scripture. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It is good. It's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching us what is right, for reproof, teaching us what is wrong, for correction, teaching us how to make the wrong right, instruction in righteousness, teaching us how to keep it right, that the man of God may be perfect, or a better word here is mature, truly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does inspiration of God mean? God breathed. Very good. What does God breathed mean? Inspired. Why do they use the phrase God breathed? Okay, so I'm going to treat you all like you're campers right now. Everybody take your hand, put it up in the air, and put it in front of your mouth. I want you all to repeat after me. Everybody do it. Everybody, okay? Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? Okay. You cannot speak without breathing out. And this is what God did. God spoke, he breathed out these words. And then he had his friends like Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Matthew and John and Paul write them down for us. And this book, I'm trying to stay away from that. This book, this is God's word. And any question we have in life, we have the privilege that we can go to God's word. So, this is a verse we're going to open up tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise. Now, that word despise does not mean hate. In context, it means to look down upon, to treat as nothing, okay? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, spirit, faith, and purity. If you are 25 or younger, would you stand up, please? 25 or younger. All right. You got a lot in here that are young, don't you? Now, let me talk to all you guys standing up for just a second. Sometimes when you're young, you think, oh, nobody trusts us. Nobody thinks I have a brain. Nobody thinks I can think, you know. I don't want anyone, don't you allow anyone to look down on you just because you're young. But you guys right here can be an example in life. To believers who are older than you, that's moms and dads and grandparents, and even to believers for your older ones, the younger ones, little brothers and sisters, in exactly everything this verse is teaching. Okay, you may have a seat. And those of you who are older, understanding that if you have a conflict with your phone or computer, what do? You call up your third grade grandson and he fixes it for you, if you know what I mean. And you ever watch kids, you ever watch grandma's text? You know, it's like this. And spell check gets them in trouble a lot, okay? So somebody has to help us by being the example. Don't let anyone look down on you, but be an example for all believers. Be an example in our digital world. Those of us who are older, we realize that basically those under, say, 30 don't even know what it's like to live a life without computers and iPhones. It's part of their world. And by the way, the internet is not going to go away. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get stronger. It's going to get faster. It's going to get more appealing every single day. Like it or not, it is here and it is here to stay. That's why when it comes to helping our kids in this, I think it's very, very important that we teach them how to be in this world, but not of this world. And the Bible has great principles to help us here, okay? Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young. But set an example for believers. The first phrase there was in word. This is speech and what you say. In other words, how do you talk to others in our digital world? Specifically, we're talking about cell phoneholics and text monsters. You can't go anywhere today without these phones being stuck to the ears and people staring at them while they're driving, while they're sitting in services, everywhere, all the time. When I get on a plane now to fly, you can't talk to anybody because they get the earbuds on and they're already on the screen. It is part of life. There's no question. So how do you talk to others in this world? The passage from Romans 12, 9 through 12. Let me read it and then we'll walk through it. Let love be without dissimulation. That means pretending. Okay? Abhor, hate that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So the question, first of all, let your love be real. Let your love be without dissimulation. Are you ignoring others or just being rude because a friend calls? Have you ever been talking to somebody, you're in a room, and all of a sudden, while you're talking to them, it's almost like they're looking around to see if maybe somebody more important or more exciting is coming in? None of us like that. None of us like to be talking to somebody and then be interrupted. That's rude. But what happens today is just because a phone dings, bats, or buzzes, even though you're face-to-face, everybody grabs their phone because for whatever reason, Verizon telling you that your bill is due is more important than that person at that time. So it's not being loving. It's not letting your love be real. Second phrase here where it talks about hate evil and love good. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. Are you careful what you talk or text about? It's amazing how quickly a phone can be used for gossip, spreading rumors, complaining, tearing down others. There's many scripture passages that are violated with a phone that we think we're not because we're saying it. But it really doesn't matter if you text it or talk it. If you're still being unkind to others, if you're not being careful what you talk about, you're not being loving, okay? Be kind and loving by preferring and honoring others. Are you conscious of those around you? Public places, 10-foot zone, please keep your phone on vibrate. There's no place sacred, none. In weddings and funerals, church services, I wouldn't even be shocked if tonight somebody's phone went off right now, okay? I already checked mine, so I think I'm good. Now, if you're in a church service and the phone goes off, it's amazing with the difference between dads and moms. If a dad's phone goes off, there's something like this. He goes like this. He's that quick. He's like a cowboy, quick draw. You know, he reaches down, turns it off. If a mom's phone goes off in a service, she picks up that suitcase she brings in, sets down, and starts digging through while it's singing. Finally, it goes off. She says, good. And so she walks away, and they leave a message, and it does it again, okay? And again, these things regarding the ringtones, everything from Bach to rock and everything in between is on there. And sometimes it can be very, very disruptive. Now, there are times I'm expecting a call from my wife or my kids. I have to travel a lot. It's just part of our season of life. My wife takes care of her 93-year-old mother. And if I know I'm getting a call from Amber, I am going to say, can you excuse me a minute? I really want to talk to my wife. And I will walk away and then I'll talk. There are times when we can be wise the way we use this, but obviously we need to be conscious, okay? Keep a zealous, intense testimony for God. Not being lazy in your life, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do those you talk to know that you love God more than them? How could they? How would they? Husbands, have you ever grabbed your phone in the morning and text your devotions to your wife? Hun, oh, it's such a great study today in Ephesians 4. God is so good. Have you ever done that? Ladies, have you ever texted what God is teaching you to your grandkids if you're older? To your kids. Learning to share what God is teaching is so vitally important, even with our phones. I remember I was somewhere speaking. I was staying in a home. They had five teenagers, three of them girls, okay? One bathroom. So I made sure I got up very early so I could get in and get out before the girls got there, got it? Well, I got up early and went to Starbucks, and I spent some time with the Lord, and I was reading through the book of John. You know, sometimes when you're having your devotions, it's almost like the characters are sitting right there with you. I'm sitting there studying John, and I grab my phone, and I text my wife, said, "Hun, the Apostle John is sitting right next to me. He's 19. He's really a cool guy. He got a vanilla latte venti, okay? He's really a neat guy." You say, "You're weird, Rand." Okay, I know I'm weird. My wife texts me back, "Oh, tell John I said hi. Tell him thanks for taking care of Mary." Okay? You say, "Rand, you're weird." But these are real things. So you want to use your phone to let other people know that you love God. Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young, for you young people. But be an example for all believers in conversation. That's your life, your conduct, and your behavior. How do you behave in public? In our tech world, basically blogs, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, could be Pinterest, probably five more before we're done tonight. What does God say about this? I want you to read this out loud together with me. Ready? "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, when I read this verse, understanding that I spend most of my life with teenagers, if you're with some teenage girls and they got like an attitude, whatever. Back in Paul's day, it was whatsoever, okay? A little bit different words here. This verse is a perfect checklist for when your daughter's 12, 13, 14, whatever age, and she comes to you, "Dad, Mom, please, please, I need to have a cell phone. I really do. I need to have Facebook, please. Everybody else has one. You can cut my hair and sell it if you need to, but I need a cell phone." And what do you want to tell them? No, wait till you're 40, okay? That's what you want to say. But we have to understand that these kids and the ones I deal with, they're going to grow up. And my job, by the way, you know what my job as a dad is? To prepare my kids for judgment. It's kind of like my job as a husband, man. My ultimate job as a husband is to prepare my Amber for judgment, to help her stand before God and not be ashamed. That's my job. And with my kids. And we know that these kids, they do this thing called growing up. And they're 18, 19, they go off to college, off to work, and they're gone. So I want them to go through some of these tough things in life, and I want to be with them. So you want a Facebook? Okay. There's some verses we're going to study, but if you ever do get one, you're only allowed 15 friends. And two of those best friends have to be Mom and I. And you have to check with me if you're going to get a new friend. I want you to put your favorite Bible verse, a new one, on every week, and I want you to share your testimony. You teach them how they can walk through this, okay? So a verse like this, you say, here's what we'll do. Suppose your daughter's 14, your son's 14, and really, really wants a cell phone. Instead of just saying no, say, okay, maybe, but here's what we'll do, okay? Caressa, I want you to take Philippians 4:8, and I'm pretending, okay? And I want you to study it for 2 weeks, okay? You have permission, you know, not pretending to be your dad, to go into the study, borrow any commentary you want. I want you to do a word study in every word. I want you to do a phrase. I want you to journal this or write it all down. In 2 weeks, we're going to go out to Starbucks, and we're both going to study this and talk about what we learned. This verse will become a checklist. And if you violate any of the principles that are easily listed in this verse, then you have just lost your privilege to have your phone for 2 months. But the difference is, she's not just upsetting Mom or Dad. She's choosing to disobey God. There's a big difference. And as we send our kids out in this wicked world, they need to know that they're making a choice, not just freaking out Mom and upsetting Dad, but they're making a choice whether they're going to please God or not. So you ready? Here we go. The first one in the checklist, whatsoever things are true. Have you ever lied online? If you lie, gossip, exaggerate, spread rumors that are hurtful, you violated your privilege. You lose it for 2 months. Wow. And we have to understand that even grabbing that phone and talking with others, or going on your Facebook moms and grandmas and talking about other people when we're maybe not even sure it's actually true. What sort of things are true? You say, Rand, it's online. The Bible says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God hates lying. Those who choose to lie, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you do. He was a liar and abode not in the truth. And lying is very serious. So therefore, if they take their phone or their iPad through whatever connection they have with their media presence, and they violate that, they lose the privilege. What sort of things are honest? Literally means honorable. Have you dishonored your parents or God? And teens, if you get frustrated with mom and dad and you have a phone and you grab it and you start talking to your friends, or you go on Instagram and you just show your face really sad, say mom and dad are out of control, they don't understand, they don't let me do anything. And I'm being kind. But you have just sinned. You have just chosen to disobey Ephesians 6, where it says, honor your father and mother. By the way, it doesn't even say honor your Christian father and mother, your good father and mother, your happy father and mother. It says, honor your father and your mother. What sort of things are just? Have you been fair to friends by talking to them before talking to others? Again, one of the number one hated sins amongst teenagers is gossip. And today, it used to be at least you had to wait until like recess or after school or when you get together at church. Now, the second something happens, somebody grabs their phone. Do you see that outfit that Cindy has on? Her dress makes her look like a barn. You know, all this stuff going on out there. Just the first thing that comes to our mind, we don't put it through any filtering system, and we immediately send it back out there. And once it's out there to stay. What sort of things are pure? Have you involved yourself in impure conversations? Now, we'll see this on the last point, and I'll be very candid and very careful because of the age of our congregation here tonight. But you must understand, mom and dad and grandparents, this is the number one thing that I have to counsel. Especially when guys and girls are teens and they try to communicate wicked things back and forth. It is incredibly damaging. Or I've even had to deal with some who have thought through suicide because of the consequences of words and pictures involved in this. The impurity that's involved in going online, it's out of control right now. And that's why we have to be very, very careful. What sort of things are lovely? Have you been ugly or unkind to others? What sort of things are commendable? Have you kept a positive approach to life? What sort of things are excellent? Have you lost your spirit of excellence by giving in to sin? What sort of things are praiseworthy to God? Have you pleased God in what you say? Isn't it amazing how relevant the Word of God is? We get this just this little checklist. And you keep going through and making sure you're honoring God and honoring mom and dad by how you use your media presence. Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young. But be an example for all believers in love and a spirit of genuine concern for others rather than self. How do you deal with selfishness in our digital world? Specifically, iTunes addicts and Xbox junkies. It's called music and games. Now, I am kind of amazed, especially in speaking to teens or college age. I am their friend, and they know that. And everybody's happy and cool until I say the word music. And then everybody gets upset. And I love using this phrase, if I could prove to you that the music you listen to displeases God, would you be willing to give it up? And kids walk up and say, why don't you think my music is right? I said, first of all, I don't even know your name, okay? And I don't even know what music you listen to. You might listen to soundtracks from Thomas the Train. I have no idea what you listen to. But I do know that you are upset, so therefore, and that's a great question. If I could prove to you that the music you listen, I probably can't. But if I could, would you be willing to give it up? That's a question for all of us. And when it comes to games, are games fun? Is it easy to plop down and grab that computer or grab that toy and spend hours? Philippians 2, 3 and 4. In lowliness of mind, which is another way of saying humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. The other can involve a mom and a dad and a brother and a sister, okay? Look not every man on his own things. Don't be selfish, but every man also on the things of others. So, when I use the phrase plugged in or connected, that could be playing a game, that could be having earbuds, that could be sitting down on Facebook and Pinterest, whatever it might be, okay? Does it disconnect you from your family? I was in a restaurant, sat down to eat. I saw what I assume was a mom and three daughters come in, sat right next to me. They hadn't even been in the booth before two of the girls grabbed their phone, the other girl put the earbuds in and just sat there like this, the mom staring off in space. I thought, that's sad. They finally get a chance to go out to eat, and nobody's communicating at all. I did a hayride with some teenagers, and we jumped in the back of that wagon, and normally in hayrides, you're laughing and goofing off and trying to take seventh grade boys and bury them under the hay and all that kind of stuff. Not in this one. They lined up, they all grabbed their phones, nobody said a word, and they started texting each other. I thought, this is the weirdest hayride I have ever been on in my life. Does it disconnect you from your family? You know, a halo can get hours in conversation with mom and dad. Doesn't last more than 5 minutes. But actually, folks, if we want to turn that around, Fox News can get much more time from us dads and moms than conversation with our kids. I think it'd be wise if we could learn how to turn these things off. Set times when you sit down for a meal, no phones, okay? When you have an opportunity to ride in the car, just talk, laugh, goof off together. Good, strong families know how to laugh a lot. Now, they love a lot, and I hope they spend time in the Word together, but they do know how to laugh. Does being plugged in or connected disconnect you from your God? Moms are addicted to Facebook, and they literally can spend hours finding out what's going on in everybody else's life. But they make sure that they get their 10 or 15 minutes with God. They read their chapter a day, we'll keep the devil away, or think that way. You know, spending time with God is not, it's not a checklist thing. It's not, oh good, I did my devotions. No, 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 you don't do devotions. You set aside time to spend with God. There's a difference. And all of us, sometime in our busy schedules, need to carve out solid, solid time to spend with God. Because if you don't plan it and prepare for it, you won't do it. You need a set place, a set time, and a set plan. And if you don't have that, you probably won't spend time with God. Does being plugged in or connected consume all your time for family, friends, or God? Time management for kids is something that we're not teaching them very well. I have a message called the Peter Pan Syndrome. Peter Pan, he was a boy that never wanted to grow up. He loved chasing ticking crocodiles. Why become a man and get a job and have responsibility? It's more fun to play cowboys and Indians. And the whole message is based on Luke 2:52, where Jesus increased in favor with God and man, okay? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. You know how old Jesus was when that verse was written about him? He was 12. He was a junior higher. He did not waste his teenage life. And as moms and dads, we need to help our kids not to waste their teenage life. Teach them music. Music is great because it helps them to learn some discipline. Help them to work with somebody that you know to learn a trade. But don't let them waste their teenage lives. The teenage life should be preparing for future life. Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young, but be an example for all believers in purity. God wrote this, okay? It's there in the Bible, and I know it scares us, but God wrote it down for us to be careful. Integrity and control over the desires of the flesh. How do you guard your purity in our digital world? I'm talking about cell phones and blogs and Facebook and Snapchat and iTunes and game systems, Instagram. Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beg you, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts," which, say the next word out loud with me, ready? War. Say it again. War against the soul. Folks, I want you to understand that there is a literal spiritual warfare for the hearts of your kids. Because God is a jealous God, but God is not jealous of us. He is jealous for us. He knows exactly what kind of love can reach in, grab a hold of your heart, and pull it away from Him. He knows what can grab a hold of the heart of your 14-year-old son, your 13-year-old daughter, who gets enamored with visuals online until it is so consuming they would rather love it, and they begin to love it more than they love their moms and dads, more than they love their God. There's questions that you must ask in regards to purity. Are you communicating with people you do not know? Extremely dangerous. You would never, ever allow anyone just to come knock on the door, come on in. Yeah, spend 2 hours with my kids. It'd be crazy. And what I'm about to say, again, I'm your friend. I don't want any of you girls or ladies to be offended. But what often happens, especially with young teens or older teen girls, unmarried in their 20s, and I dare say many, many wives who for whatever reason sense that their husbands are not very excited about them anymore. Many feel unattractive and that nobody would ever like them. Many girls, teenagers, believe that no boy would ever like them. And they go online and inadvertently meet somebody and they start communicating back and forth, and it's almost like he says things like, "Wow, I've never met you. I've never met anyone like you in my life. It's almost like you can read into my soul. Wow, whoever you're going to marry, whoever you're married to, must be the luckiest guy in all the world. Well, I'd give anything to spend my life with you." And what you're not thinking is they're doing this to 20 or 30 other people. And it's easy by that flattery to start to think, wow, they really think something of me. It is so devastating. I could stand here for 3 hours and share more than that and share stories. I was at one church helping with a situation, young couple, 22 years old. They've been married for 2 years. He gets home from work. Something's weird. His wife's car's gone, and he gets in. There's a note on the table. "I met someone online, and I left you." They have been married 2 years. He sat down. He started crying. The phone rang, and it was his wife's dad. And he said, "Hey, we thought we'd surprise you kids and come down to visit." He said, "What's up?" And obviously the boy shared the note that he got from this man's daughter. And the dad said, "Well, I wondered. I'm going down the interstate. I thought I saw your car going up the other side." So he quickly got the next exit. He actually caught up behind his daughter. She didn't know, but he followed her for about an hour. She took an exit, went into a Lowe's parking lot, pulled up to a white van, got out of the car, a man got out, and they started to embrace. That's when Dad pulled in. You can imagine the shock. The good part would be that she was so shocked that she went and got in the car with her mom and left this guy, went back to her husband. Men, would it be a little bit hard maybe to trust your wife for a while? And do we understand how devastating it is for wives who catch their husbands in places online that they shouldn't be? Do you understand how devastating that is and how ugly a wife can feel? What it does is it bankrupts your trust account. And you can spend 5, 10, 15 years building trust in a relationship, and good relationships are built on trust. You can build all this trust and literally bankrupt yourself in 30 seconds. You have to be so very, very careful. Are you accepting unsuitable friends that make you question your authorities or even your faith? Now, I'm all for, a big part of my life is encouraging teens to stay pure and stay as far away from that stuff as possible. But there's a bigger thing here, and that's what you've been teaching them. So what do you do when they meet a friend online? They say, "Oh, you have to go to church? They teach you that the Bible's true? Come on, you know that there's only one God. It doesn't matter what you call him, if you're Buddhist or Muslim, it doesn't matter. It's all this. This is what they start teaching. And all of a sudden, the kids go, whoa, whoa, I didn't know that. Has mom and dad been not telling me the truth? Do you see how devastating this can be? Are you becoming more and more accepting of lewd and crude language? I am a camp director, and I dare say that probably 90% or maybe more of the kids that come to camp profess to know Christ as their Savior. Do you even begin to understand the language I hear? Because of the movies, the cartoons, because of what their friends are saying? And if we just allow open-ended access to whomever and whatever, don't be shocked if they start using lewd and crude language. Are you playing any games that are full of nudity, crudity, and graphic violence, games that you have to think sin in order to win? There's a game that's probably the most classic illustration of this, Grand Theft Auto, where if you study it closely, you have to break, I think it's 7 or 8 of the commandments, 10 commandments, just to win. You say, come on, Rand, slow down. It's a game. I know it's a game. I know it's just a movie. I know it's out there. But my Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What your kids are thinking today, they're becoming tomorrow. And our thoughts are simply an index to our character. If we never think it, we'll never do it. That's why it is so vitally important to be careful. Are you downloading any music that exalts music groups or musicians that love what God hates and hate what God loves? Do you know most of the Christian teens I deal with know a lot more about Lady Gaga than they know about Matthew, Mark, or Luke? Where do they learn this? Why is it always on their attention more and more? Are we viewing YouTube videos that are totally inappropriate? You take a normal 14-year-old kid and they sit down and even trying to watch a good YouTube of maybe something they saw at camp or something funny from school, and they got all these little boxes on the side. And we expect a 13 or 14-year-old kid to go, no, 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 no. I think sometimes as parents and grandparents, we get amnesia. Seriously. We forget what it was like to be 14 or 15. And where we might think that it's no big deal. Are we saying yes to the constant advertisements for wicked sites? Or has a cell phone become a tool for temptation? Are we struggling every day to keep our thoughts pure? Again, this is the number one thing that I counsel with both boys and girls. As teenagers, they get away from home, they come to camp, their hearts are convicted, they're so guilty, they come to me weeping. And how many sad times I've had to sit in my office and his mom and dad come pick him up, hey, come on up to my office, and we have to open up what's really going on. We need to know where our children, our teens, really where each other is spending time. Because God's word has a lot to say about this. 1 Timothy, Romans, Ephesians 5, Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Peter 2. If you want to, we can skip the pizza and I can go another hour and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and let's go to Proverbs 5, 6, or 4, 5, and 6. And it goes on and on and on. What we need to do is study the word of God in context to get what it's saying and then see how it applies in the world that we live. I want us to understand, if in your home bad things have happened. Again, I'm trying to phrase this incredibly carefully. It's always wise to set up every boundary, every filter, every block you can. I have a whole other message called The Dark Side of the Internet that explains all these. And I think we're wise enough to know that the blocks and the filters and how much time they're allowed is important. But some of the practical things you can do, number one, mom gets the password. Nobody else knows it. But mom, you got to change that thing about once a week. You have to be the gatekeeper for your home. You have to be the one that when your husband and your kids come in from this wicked world and they shut that door, oh, at least at home, there's absolutely no temptations out there. When it comes to time management, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, we did in our home, and we didn't have the internet, but there was video games. It was a very simple principle that we could still use today if we had kids in the home. If you want to play for 30 minutes, you had to read for 30 minutes first. If you want to play a game for an hour, you have to read for an hour. Josh had this little game called Joe and Mac. He said, "Dad, it takes 2 hours to beat the thing." I said, "Sweet. That means all week long you read. And it's not just reading the Bible, but read 2 hours. And then you can spend 2 hours on Saturday with your friends playing this game." After a while, we did so much reading, the game never even got turned on because reading is a lot more fun. Okay? His son, who is now 4, gets 20 minutes a day for iPad time. And normally it's Thomas the Train, okay? And last time I was there, he goes, "Papa, if you come to visit me next Thursday, no, not next Thursday, the next Thursday, then you can watch Cars with me." He gets 2 movie nights a month, every other Thursday. Even in this crazy high-tech world we live today, we just have to think ahead, make some choices that our kids and grandkids don't get addicted. I know we got some grandparents here. And grandparents, I have so many young parents who have young kids come and say, "Rand, you got to help me. I can't take my kids to my mom and dad's." Why? Because they say there's no big need to have a filter and blocks on the computer. It's no big deal to them. They never mute the commercials. The TV runs nonstop. I don't want my kids to see that. I stood one of these meetings with 3 grandmas, all 3 weeping, because their grandsons got addicted to porn because they went to grandma's, because they knew there was no filters and blocks there. So we can all be very, very wise, because there is a warfare going for the hearts of your kids. But there's so many Bible principles that can help us to be godly in this wicked world, okay? We got to live in it, but we don't need to be of it. Let's be wise. And by the way, the greatest way for kids to learn anything is by example. And if they see moms nonstop in front of the TV or on the computer, if dads come home from work and the first thing they do, they plop down with their iPad or a computer and don't even stop to talk, they're going to learn that, okay? And again, I hope you understand, I'm your friend. But we do need to really, really protect our teens and our kids in this world, okay? God's word has a lot to say, because God loves us and he wants the best for us. But always remember that even when we fail, God's a forgiving God. We ask him for his forgiveness, which he promises, and then his grace, his strength, his divine enablement to do what is right. Okay, I'm going to pray for us in a second. But is there anyone that would have a question? Any question whatsoever, a practical thing? I know we have pizza in 5 minutes, and so it has to be at least a 4.5 minute question, okay? Any questions at all? Anything at all? I know it's kind of hard to ask a question like that. You say, "Rand, everybody will think we have a problem." Well, ask a question about a neighbor down the road. Okay, yes, sir.
I have a son who's married to a really nice Catholic girl. One time I wondered what I was saying to them. And he professed long ago to know Christ. Now, what do you do in that situation? How do you bring them to your kids?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That is a wonderful, wonderful question. And I've got many. I have a brother that lives not far from here. It's an atheist, a brother-in-law. And he told me he hates preachers. I gave him a hug, so I'm praying for you, Mike. He said, "You can spend your free time any way you want," okay? There's a great passage that talks about, without the word, they may be one. Now, that doesn't mean you can be one outside the Spirit of God and the Word of God, okay? But that means by our godly presence, most of these people, especially in family, if they truly want to know the gospel and understand the gospel. Now, we live in a world where you can Google, "How do I go to heaven?" Okay? So they are without excuse. But it always means that you are loving and kind, and you never, ever attack anybody's belief system. But you do what you can to plant seeds of doubt. I was flying somewhere, sitting next to a very nice Catholic lady, And we're talking back and forth. What do you believe? What do you believe? And I'm thinking, wow, I've never met one that had this much knowledge. And finally, I said, hey, I got an idea. She said, what? Let's pray. We're both going to pray, and we're both going to pray to Mary. And when we're done, I want you to tell me who she heard. Because if she heard both of us, that means she's omniscient and omnipresent. And if I'm not mistaken, I think those are attributes only God should have, okay? She goes, I never thought of that. 2 weeks later, I always give them my card. 2 weeks later, she emailed me, said, I can't get this out of my mind. Can you send me more information, what you believe about salvation? So you plant seeds of doubt. You ask questions, rather. Remember, questions stir the conscience. Accusations harden the will. So you constantly say, I'm praying for you, you know. And one thing I did with my sister and her husband, he's an atheist, but they were estranged from the family. When they started having kids, I started sending patch tapes. You guys know about Patch the Pirate here, okay? So I started sending patch tapes, and their daughter, living in Germany, got saved through one of the patch tapes. That softened my sister's heart. And she called, and just because we lovingly sent the kids patch tapes. When they start having kids, send them to camp. Grandparents pay for the kids to go to camp. We have many Catholic families that send their kids to the camp at the Wilds in New England. And I tell them, say, now, you know, we preach the Bible here and what salvation is, and you can't work for it. Oh, we know. But nobody loves our kids like you guys. So being loving, being kind, never backing off the purity of the gospel, never saying, oh, you're okay, it's just another way to look at it. That's not true. But what are you depending on? And once the kids start coming, mom's hearts are tender towards their kids. And when you say, hey, I'm praying for you and the little one, especially as they get a little bit older, what are you teaching her to give her confidence that she knows when she dies she'll spend eternity in heaven, okay? But again, lovingly doing it that way. That's a good question. There's a book called Done. I don't know if you ever used it here, by Carrie Schmidt, a good friend of mine. There's only two religions in the whole world. Did you know that? Only two. Do and done. Either you have to do something to gain God's acceptance, or it's done in Christ. And it's a great little book, a great tool. And when you meet people flying or whatever, it's free as a download on Kindle. So I will tell them, I want you to look this up, and you can get it free, or let me send it to you free, okay? So there's a lot of ways you can go. All right? I don't see the people walking. D-O-N-E, done by Carrie Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, okay? I don't see the pizza in here yet. So any other questions? Anyway, that's a good question. Anything else about kids? Whatever, teens. You know, we have Q&A a lot at camp, and I love doing that with teens. And the teens, I say, you can ask me anything you want. If you've been there, you know we've been through those. Now, they have stupid questions at times, but I told them, they could, like, how old were you when you first kissed a girl? I go, well, come on, guys. That's kind of personal, isn't it? And you said we could ask anything. I said, okay, I'll give you the answer. I was two. It was my mom. Next question, okay? So there's ways you can get around these things, okay? But when we go through Q&A, when we get close to the end, I say, now, Q&A is question and answer, but it doesn't say who gets to do the Q and who gets to do the A. So I have a Q for you. And I asked the teenagers, why is it when you come to camp, it's so easy to make decisions for God and to be close to God, and I'm going to be right with my parents, I'm going to have my devotions. And then you go home, and 3 months later, you kind of fail on that. I ask that to the teens, and the hands, you've been there, just start flying up. I said, why? Well, here at camp, everybody's doing it. Here at camp, you set aside a certain time for it. Here at camp, there's no distractions like TV or games. Every single thing that they tell me could be done in our homes. Everybody's doing it. No distractions. Certain time set up. We can do the same thing. And I encourage us as a parents, help your kids to know God, not just know about God, but to know him personally. Let it just be part of your life. Memorize scripture together. Teach your little tiny ones Bible principles like patience. We use this, waiting without whining. Say it with me, waiting without whining. Now, whining is an onomatopoeia. You remember that in English class? And an onomatopoeia means it sounds like it says, like it says, like it sounds, like it says, like it sounds, okay? So I want you to say it again. I want you to say waiting without whining, but I want you to say it with the word whining, like you're really whining. Ready? Waiting. Ooh, you guys are too good at that, all right? Now, what I just did is all I'm talking about. We laugh. We have fun. I'm driving to church. We did the music in our church. There's a slow driver in front of me. We're a little bit late. Come on. My three-year-old daughter, Daddy, waiting without whining. It's life. Let the word of God control your life, okay? Let's pray.